Dead internet theory has come true, and they need, in terms of advertising, to be able to tell their client base, their advertising base, that these are the people who you're advertising to. Because right now, there's tons of ad revenue, but no one's actually watching the ads. There's a push all over the modern world to force people into, you know, digital panopticons, and in a lot of ways, a really physical cage. And so all these things together tell you that there's a need from governments to make sure that the people who are speaking the loudest, the most effectively, and with the most capital are corralled early. They are strangled in the crib. Age Verify. It is a big story. It is probably the biggest story in tech, as evidenced by EasyDNS's April Fool's joke, which is having people calling for Mark's head on Reddit. It's a joke, everyone. Just a joke. Mark would never ask you to verify. I don't know if you saw the list of genders, by the way, that he's asking you for in your sign up, but there's a couple of good ones. Based self, NPC, a couple bangers in there. No one actually looked, I guess, which is probably a sign of the times. But anyway, age verification. We've talked about it on the show, but it seems to me like there's quite a bit going on. So why don't we dive in and spend some time discussing what people need to be on the lookout for?
This thing is just coming on more and more, and every week we discuss it, and there's always new topics to discuss about this. There's a new, it seems to be an overall global push for this stuff, right? It doesn't seem like it's just one particular company or one country doing it. It seems to be everybody is trying to push for some age verification on either your device or your software. And why is this being done? The question is this, you know, are they doing this for the protection of our children? That's what they're trying to say. It's just, you know, no more being anonymous online, and it's just surveillance. Gone are the days where you just sign up with an ISP. I remember way back when you could sign up with cash, and really there's nothing showing who you are on the internet. Now there's always some sort of tracking going on, what you're doing, how you're doing it, when you did it, and well, let's see what happens with all that. This protection of children, got to be honest, that's just a joke, right? That's no longer the case. But if they are trying to impact children and trying to force them to get around, if there's like some hard limits from using social media, like they're talking about in Canada under the age of 16, these are the people that are the most resourceful and they have the most to lose. They're going to go ahead and use VPNs and they'll try to get around this nonsense one way or another. The U.S., too, they're mandating it in more than half the states, some sort of digital ID check. Because there was the recent 2025 Supreme Court decision on Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton, and that upheld the Texas age verification law for adult content. So, you know, the shift has been passed on to these developers. You mentioned Meta, Apple, Google, all of them. These manufacturers are going to have to ask for age verification when you use the device. And interrupt me if you want, Joey. I may be going on a rant here, so I'll be more than happy to pass on the baton to you. But I find this to be a very interesting, and it's a subject that I find near and dear to my heart. Furthermore, if you want to even go across the pond to the UK, remember, they're a mess. That country is an absolute mess. As of mid-2025, the UK's Online Safety Act is now in effect, and that requires platforms to use what they call robust age assurances to figure out who you are. They're using facial recognition to determine the age, and of course, credit cards. And this is now a new age of biometric surveillance that's being pushed upon us. And even people over there, they're geo-locked, but you know what? They're getting out by using VPNs if they can, and other sort of products. And furthermore, you also have in the EU, there's a digital identity wallet. It's a mandatory acceptance by 2026 member states that they have to offer this by as late as 2027. We also have large platforms like Google and Meta that are legally required to accept these wallets for age and identity purposes. Why do they need to do this? Because like I mentioned, it's about surveillance. They want to know what you're doing, what you're saying, why you're saying, and if you think that you could go somewhere like X gives the impression that this is this nice free place to talk freely, but let's be honest, if you're going to get a blue check mark, what do you have to give up? More identity, yeah. More verification, right? So you're kind of stuck if you want to use these major platforms. These are all centralized platforms. I get it. They could do what they want, But there are alternatives out there. I'm looking at something like Noster, for instance. Just take advantage of stuff like that. And also, there's not all operating systems are subjected to this. Not all phone devices are subjected to this. They're all alternatives. Take a look at them.
This is a huge shift in the thinking of what was probably one of the founding pillars of the internet, and it was digital freedom, right? It was sort of this like right to online assembly. It was the right to speak freely in the digital town square. And I think maybe most importantly, maybe not at the time that, you know, a lot of this stuff was founded and started to roll, but definitely now, it was about anonymity. We've seen the need for anonymity increase everywhere in the last, I don't know, 5 years, let's say, since COVID. We'll say since COVID. Speaking out against COVID would have gotten you, at the very least, ostracized by your friends and family. But in the most extreme cases, it one-shotted many institutions, one-shotted many employers, one-shotted many social groups, political parties, into basically depersoning you if you spoke out against vaccine mandates, lockdowns, any number of the draconian measures that were implemented all over the world all at once, which is the next thing I want to talk about. Everything that's ever happened all over the world and all at once has been negative for personal freedoms and personal sort of freedom of movement. We've seen this a bunch over the last 50 or 60 years, but it's ramping up. And the identity layer is something that I don't think a lot of people understand. I wrote about this a few months ago in a post that I did on X about capital controls. And I tried to explain to people that capital controls are more or less already here. The only question is how strictly will they be enforced and on who? And part of that piece was the formation of the identity layer. It's easy right now to use certain software and hardware anonymously. You know, maybe I could replace the word easy with the word legal. But soon, it seems to me, it'll be illegal to use a lot of this stuff without age verification, which ultimately is identity verification. There's a push all over the modern world to force people into, you know, digital panopticons, and in a lot of ways, a really physical cage. It's the 15-minute city. It's the expensive fuel. It's the expensive food. It's the you must work at your office. You cannot work remotely push, which is also beginning to take shape, if it hasn't taken shape already, if it isn't fully formed already. The idea of nomadic, digitally native, productive people, I think, is a scary thing for modern governments. And if you can't understand why, I'll try and break it down here as succinctly as I can, but it's a broad topic. Tax regimes need ease of assessment and ease of enforcement in a way that they have never needed it before. The tools available to people to not only make money, but also hide money have never been more advanced. And the tools available to people to create ideas and communities, but also move those communities in ways that make governing difficult when governments are unpopular has also never been more advanced. And so all these things together tell you that there's a need from governments to make sure that the people who are speaking the loudest, the most effectively, and with the most capital are corralled early. They are strangled in the crib, as the saying goes. And we've seen that a lot. During COVID, we saw this with guys like Joe Rogan. During COVID, we saw this with guys, you know, closer to home, the Adamson barbecue guy who refused to close his shop. We saw it with gym owners. Now we, you know, there's an attempt by mainstream media, legacy media, who's largely irrelevant now, but not to the boomer voter base in all these modern countries. We see this attempt to strangle in the crib ideas like being pro-natalist if you're a white, you know, affluent woman in the West. We see this attempt to strangle in the crib the benefits of being healthy and in shape and attending a gym in the West. It's white supremacist. It's, you know, neo-Nazi adjacent. Heaven forbid you go to a gym and find that other people are as frustrated with the government as you are and decide to do something about it, decide to organize, right? Can't have high testosterone men organizing against the government in legal ways, of course. No one is suggesting there's going to be a you know, an attack or anything, but organized people with free access to media, free access to group formation, they will do damage to governments that are unpopular. And governments have never been more unpopular. The cost of living is going up. Communities are being flooded with third world villagers. Labor is being completely suppressed, if not outright destroyed and attacked by these policies, whether it's wages or availability of jobs. Education and the promise of following a path that leads you to prosperity has been completely broken. There is a need for governments to really get a hold of this now. And I think they all agree on that, which is why, as I mentioned earlier, it's so scary that they're doing it all at once. The question is, what do you do about it? And I'm not super convinced, as you know, that people have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to an oppressive regime when push comes to shove. Right now, push is not really coming to shove. You know, not enough people are being targeted for mean tweets. Not enough people are being arrested for Facebook posts. Not enough people are having their travel restricted or their businesses audited or any of this sort of stuff yet. But I think at some point that will become an issue. And the government, for all the power they exercise and the monopoly on violence they enjoy and all these different things, the one thing they're not great at is walking the line between nudging people into a certain behavior and, you know, turning the heat up on the stove slowly and pushing too hard and showing their hand. And I think they've shown their hand here in a major way. I don't know, though, that it matters, Len. I don't know that it matters. I'm not convinced that people will actually revolt. You know, you and I are prominent in the Bitcoin space, and we talk to a lot of people who are aligned with us, even if they're not Bitcoiners, are aligned with us on things like privacy and freedom and libertarianism and things of this nature. But I don't think that most people have that view. I don't think most people are thinking about reestablishing themselves in another more friendly jurisdiction. I don't think that most people are thinking about incorporating to protect their income. I don't think that most people are thinking about, you know, do I need to move when there's, you know, more burkas than poodle mixes in the park near my house? You know, I don't know that that's what people are thinking, but they should be. And one of the things I think, as far as like the age verification from a technical perspective, you know, we've obviously discussed this before, but it's worth mentioning again that Meta was behind most of the lobbying for this push. And the theory that's floating around is that Meta knows better than anyone that the internet is basically mostly bots. Dead internet theory has come true. And they need, in terms of advertising, to be able to tell their client base, their advertising base, that these are the people who you're advertising to. Because right now, there's tons of ad revenue, but no one's actually watching the ads. It's robots, it's AI, it's people who are skipping the ads, people we just don't know who's watching, and so it's hard to sell those things. That entire business model comes crashing down in a hurry if everyone realizes that. And I think there's at least some inkling that people are starting to realize that. I don't know exactly what that, you know, what that alarm bell sounds like or looks like, but for it to be out there is sign enough for me that there's some discussion about this in boardrooms. So, you know, I think the one thing that I would point out is that regardless of the size of the company, whether it's a Facebook or a Palantir or an OpenAI or an Anthropic, or it's a smaller company like a DoorDash or an Uber or whatever, everyone wants to know who you are and what you're about and what you have. And the ideas that you're going to start to see push forward, things like dynamic pricing in grocery stores, things like dynamic pricing in the PlayStation store, which is already happening. Things like dynamic pricing. It's geographically and jurisdictionally, insane. So the idea is that you know, if you are in a high income area, you pay more for certain things, right? You pay to enjoy the privilege of PlayStation more than somebody who's in Zambia or whatever. Which, by the way, like the thought there is a good one from a marketing or from a bottom line perspective, but it's super, super oppressive to be gouging people because you think they have the money. And you're going to see the ideas that come through the pipeline become more and more difficult to agree with. And that's why the control of free speech and free organization is so important going forward for these guys. So I'll leave it there. I don't know if you have any other comments. I'd be interested to hear what you think about what to do about it. I know we disagree on whether or not people will eventually cave and stop using VPNs, verify their OSs no matter what it is, blah, blah, blah. You know, where do you come down on that stuff?
People will do what they want. You're not going to capture 100% of the people to be compliant on this. And the people that are not compliant, it's going to be virtually impossible, if not impossible, to have them persecuted and tried and convicted, because it's so easy to get around certain things. And you're not going to go after somebody because they're running a version of Linux that's not compliant to age verification. It just does not make any sense. It's not going to happen. Oh, well. And let it capture to 99% of the people, or even a larger percentage of that. We saw this during COVID, how many people were compliant with things. 5 feet. What was the thing?
Six feet.
Whatever the heck it was.
Like, a made up number, by the way.
Then you go to the grocery stores, there were arrows on the ground. You have to walk a particular direction because COVID follows that. You know, it's
red light. Can't get you if it hits you in the back of the head. That's the thinking.
Yeah. And then if you're okay, the restriction of movement is definitely, I'm not sure if this is a coordinated effort, because the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, I don't think this is something that people decided in a back room, okay, let's do this, and the result will be the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, and there'll be less oil flowing to end users. I don't think that's the result. I think it's just collateral damage more than anything else. People are impacted by it, but certainly what's going on there is restricting the freedom of movement. You can see what's going on in Australia. They're telling people you gotta start looking at alternatives, like taking the bus in South Korea, Vietnam, and other places that are telling people you can't drive altogether. And so Ryanair, they've talked about that if things don't change, they're going to have to start changing their schedules. And other major airlines have already done some adjustments to their schedule moving forward, because they're not getting enough, or they're predicting not getting enough aviation fuel. So this is absolutely crazy. And imagine being stuck in a country because you can't leave. Maybe they could run these things on batteries. Do you think they could run airplanes on batteries?
Well, it's interesting. Like you're saying, there's not a push to, you know, keep people in place or like restrict travel. But when I look at the responses from these governments, how many people are talking about like, we need to reopen some of our oil fields? None. They're all talking about we need to deploy more renewables and make sure that energy domestically stays cheap. You can't fly with wind turbine power. You can't fly with solar power. You can't fly with, you know, even anything short of jet fuel, right? And diesel obviously runs the entire trucking infrastructure, transport networks. It's a problem. And there's a couple through lines here that you can look at, right? Like, I think the AI thing is a big part of this, even though we didn't mention it yet. The idea basically is that you have this whole infrastructure where the investment now is significantly outpacing the revenues. And so you have like a natural need for ads at some point down the road, and you just cannot advertise unless you know who you're getting on the other end. And so how do you verify? Well, you verify at the OS level or at the app level, and you go from there. You have an obvious open source issue for, the issue is for governments and for state actors, but there's clearly an attack on people who are building software that makes things difficult. We just saw in the Bitcoin space, the CoinJoin guys, right? The Samurai guys go down, you know, some time ago, and they're probably going to be in jail for a few years, it looks like. And the question is like, well, why? The reason is not because they built software that, you know, necessarily works on Bitcoin or they've done money laundering. The reason is the software is more capable than anything that the state has to prevent that kind of activity. And so when people do this, when people attack open source software, the reason they're doing it is because they just can't compete. And that's a big problem for these monolithic, you know, cruise liner state actors. Pivoting to new models of governance, new models of tech, new models of whatever is impossible. It can't be done. And so what do? Well, they instead focus on how can we restrict anyone from developing things or progressing past where we can legitimately or adequately enforce our will. We do it by jailing. We do it by force. We do it by deputizing tech companies. We do it by changing tax models and restricting incomes and restricting travel and restricting freedom of money transmission. It never ends, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
The good news is we have NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, the World Cup upon us. People will be distracted. There's going to be enough things that people could focus on something else rather than what is really the important things they should be looking at. So this is going to go on for a long time because there's enough out there. And we're still talking about the beauty of what happened in the Junos, right? It's, even we're kind of distracted in a way.
No comment. This is the new format for the video. We're going to do the top story and then maybe just wrap it up. I think we've done 20 minutes, so we'll see how it goes. If you like the new format, tell us. If you don't, we'll go back to the old format. And in the spirit of the Easter weekend, have a blessed Good Friday, a blessed Easter Monday, I guess, if you get that day off. And we'll see you next week.
Take care.